A reading from the book of Acts, the 14th chapter, verse 19, through the 15th chapter, verse 5. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered about him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting they committed them to the Lord, in whom they had believed. Then they passed through Pisidia, and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended by the grace of God for the work that they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them, and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small discussion and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word, we welcome Pastor Duncan McClellan, Zion Lutheran Church, Bridgeville, Pennsylvania.
This morning our text, Acts 14:16 to 15:5, takes us on a rapid-fire adventure with Paul and Barnabas, witnessing tremendous victories for the spread of the gospel of Jesus, personal difficulties, serious theological issues emerging for the fledgling church, and even a little glimpse into the always exciting world of church administration. We've only got 5 minutes together, so let's jump in. The text begins with Paul being stoned at Lystra. What's more impressive than his surviving this death sentence was that the death sentence was ever issued in the first place. If you go back to the text, before this one, Paul heals a man who is crippled. And the local pagan priest thinks that Paul and his associate Barnabas are the gods Zeus and Hermes. He instructs the people to offer their sacrifices to the men and to worship them. The messengers of the gospel of Christ are, to put it mildly, well received. But things change quickly. Jews from Antioch and Iconium arrive, whip the people into a frenzy, and somehow convince them to stone Paul, to put him to death. We have seen in our culture how quickly people's attitudes towards the followers of Jesus can change on a dime. The shifting sand of our culture's values is nothing new, nor should it be surprising. And just as we should be reminded that historically Christianity is not at its best when it is the dominant cultural worldview, we should also be encouraged that the followers of Jesus are often at their best when Christianity is on the outside looking in, when it is counterculture. Maybe now that the culture has told us that it wants nothing to do with our values and faith, we will stop trying to fit our values and faith in with the culture. In other words, we will be free to love the world the way Christ loved it and stop trying to love the world on its terms. Maybe now the followers of Jesus will consider themselves free to speak the name of Jesus. But the story moves on. Paul survives being stoned and gets back to work. He knows that his personal condition and situation are not reflections of the state of the kingdom of God. He was stoned, but the mission of Christ moves on. Again, in the interest of time, the fate of the kingdom of God is not connected to the numerical success or failure of any one congregation or even denomination. We are not as essential as we think. God is accomplishing and will accomplish everything he wants in this age as he prepares the age to come, and as the days separating us from the return of Christ become less and less. We simply have the privilege of seeing him work through us and others to bring the kingdom here and there in the here and now. This is why Luke could write that after being stoned, quote, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Paul gets back to work and appoints overseers in the congregations. Now, we take this to mean that pastors were put in place to continue the gospel ministry that had begun by the apostles. No sooner does the attack from without cease than there is an attack from within. The party of the circumcision comes around and tells the brothers that circumcision is necessary for salvation. This issue was big in the early church. It would go on to be a major issue at the first church council in Jerusalem later in chapter 15 of Acts, and it was the catalyst for the writing of the epistles to the Galatians. The problem with theologies like that of the party of circumcision is that they demand people do something for salvation. And the problem with that is what it says about Jesus. If we need to do something in order to be saved, then Christ was either unwilling or unable to save us completely. Unwilling or unable. Now imagine a neighbor's house is on fire. The family with three kids. It's the middle of the night and the thing is totally engulfed. You see the couple outside. They made it out. You see their two older kids outside. They made it out. But you don't see the baby. The baby is still inside. So you run into the burning building, up the steps and into the nursery. And there's the baby crying in its crib. You grab the baby, run down the hall, back down the steps and to the front door. The parents are calling out for their baby and they are overjoyed to see you carrying this baby down the flame-filled hallway of their house. But you stop short of the door. You put the baby down in the hallway. I have done 99% of the work of getting you out, you say to the baby, but you have to do the last 1%. You have to crawl through the door. What kind of neighbor would you be? What would the parents of the baby think of you? Would they be glad that you got their child so close to escaping the fire? Not a chance. So what does it say about God if he is willing to do 99% of what is necessary for our salvation, but leaves that last 1% up to us? Better for God to leave everything up to us and remain an impartial but just and righteous observer than get involved with our salvation only to leave us when we need him the most. He would be a tyrant, not a God of love. And what about a God who is unable to save us? Unable, really? Take a look at Jesus on the cross, suffering. The crown of thorns, the lashing with the cat of nine tails, and the abandonment of his father. You look at the suffering servant, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You look at him and say that his death is unable to atone for your sins. Look inside the empty tomb and see the burial cloths absent the body of Jesus. And you tell the resurrected Christ that death has not been overcome. It is simply unfathomable and unreasonable to think that God is unable to save us from our sins. But every heresy, every false doctrine stems from a misunderstanding of either who Jesus is or what he did, of saying that he was either unwilling or unable to save us completely. But the good news, dear Christian friends, is that our Lord Jesus is both very willing and very able to save us completely, so that the apostle who was stoned for his faith could later write to the church at Rome, "Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this name of Jesus, amen.
We thank Pastor Duncan McClellan for this meditation on God's Word.